Well, good morning, Prestonwood family. If you would, hey, let's stand and worship the Lord together. Come on. Let's sing this together.
There's peace that outlasts darkness, and hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. And all I need, you will provide, just like you always have.
Sing, I'm fighting.
Yeah.
shout of praise this morning together.
Oh, I love that song so much. Thank you, Noah Cox, for leading us in worship this morning. Hey, before you're seated, would you turn to somebody right now standing next to you and just introduce yourself? Maybe you don't know them all that well. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. His presence is here with us. So much encouragement. He is our defender, our hope in every circumstance. All right, you may be seated. You guys like to talk, and I love that. No better place than to come together for God's glory than His church. So glad you're here this morning. We have a baptism scheduled, so direct your attention now to the baptistry as we celebrate changed lives to the glory of God.
Well, amen, church. This is Hayden Pogue, and Hayden gave his life to Christ this past year. Hayden, I'm so proud of the decision you made. I've got a question for you. Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? Amen, brother. Well, based on that profession of faith in Him and obedience to Christ's command, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Isn't that awesome? I love that. That's the most incredible thing. Hayden's one of my guys from Prestonwood Christian Academy, and I'm trying not to cry right now, so I'm super excited about it. I love the fact that his family's here. You talk about legacy building, his grandparents, his aunts, his uncles, everybody's here to celebrate that, and that's what it's all about. Amen? I have the great privilege of serving as the lead lion and superintendent of Prestonwood Christian Academy System of Schools, both here at North and at Plano. It's awesome. I love my job every single day. Okay, some days it's tougher, but I love it most of the days, and I'm excited that you're here as well. As a matter of fact, we got a special service here today. I think I'm standing a little close to the Ark of the Covenant. Have you noticed thing right here? I'm a little bit nervous, actually. I'm going to step left. But you're going to hear about the Ark of the Covenant and the role that it played. We've been learning about that in Joshua as Connor's been doing that. But today you've got a special message from Pastor Graham today. And we're going to be preparing our hearts to march around the walls of Jericho. Man, some of y'all going back to Sunday school started singing the song a little bit, didn't you, already? So it's going to be awesome today, and you're going to be challenged. Matter of fact, I was in tears and moments, just thinking about the walls that need to be broken down in my lives, that Satan whispers in my ear that says that are still there, that I can't accomplish the things that God wants for me because of those walls. So you're in for a great treat today. If you're a guest today, welcome. As a matter of fact, if you look to your left and right and you don't know somebody that's sitting to your left and right, I'm holding you accountable to connect with them. Deal? Pinky promise? Everybody's in? Okay, deal. That's the best part about this as well, is this life's not meant to be done alone. It's meant to connect. And it would be a shame if someone walked in here and never had a chance to connect with someone. And so those of us who have been here for a while, a little more seasoned, make sure that you reach out and connect to those who may be new. If you're new, as a matter of fact, and those online who... Isn't it awesome we're online here at North Campus, too? I love that. It's so great. I get to watch Connor sometimes when I'm at the Plano campus, and I just love that. But those who are online, welcome. We'd love to hear where you're watching us from. As a matter of fact, if you're here, if you got your phone, or if you're online, we'd love for you to take your phone out, dial the number, or text the number. I love texting, by the way, because that means I don't have to talk to somebody. That's a whole other conversation sometimes. But 55125, text the word CONNECT. And we'd love to connect with you. As a matter of fact, we'd love to even see if you're here out at Guest Central. We'll see you between the services as well, and we're excited about that. I love looking out here and seeing some familiar faces. I moved to Prosper in 1980. I know I look super young, and that surprises you all. But growing up around here, it's fun to be able to see a lot of faces around here and people who have helped to build the foundation of what the North Campus is all about. So thank you for being here, for those who have really vested in and those who are new. I see a lot of new faces as well. I think we have 5,000 people moving in every day over here in this area. And so it's awesome that we get a chance to connect and do the life together. One of the cool things that we get a chance to do at Prestonwood Christian Academy System of Schools is to be able to provide a Christian education for kids. As a matter of fact, here at the North Campus, we've got lots of incredible schools, and I've worked in several different school districts around the area, and they're awesome, but I'm a little biased. We've got our North Campus here, who is the reigning state football champions. Not that that's the only thing, I'm just saying. They're in the basketball state championships right now, which is an incredible musical, but can I tell you something that's really cool? In our system, we've had 61 lives that have been transformed and came to Christ this year alone. And that's what I love as well. That's what it's all about for us, is to be able to assist Christian parents in this life that we've got going. And how about these incredible singers behind me, huh? I love that. Can I tell you something? I'm taking a little more time and they're already trying to take me off, but they gave me the mic. This is what I do. If anybody tells you that they're worried about the future, I want you to take a snapshot of the kids behind me. Because I get to see this every single day about what's happening in the lives of our youth. There's a revival that's happening among our youth in America today that's unprecedented. It's in the life of Hayden, what we just saw, that they're coming to Christ because they're looking for truth in Christ. They're tired of the world telling them there's truth just however you want to be with the wind. They want to see the absolute truth in Christ. And a great example is those who are praising and leading us in praise today. So I love that they're here. Matter of fact, we had a huge preteen weekend. Anybody have preteens in the preteen weekend? Got a little break? Yes? Y'all are just excited about that? We had 258 kids involved with the adults. It was 323. But what was cool about that is 21 lives professed Christ for the very first time at the preteen weekend. Another 28 kids are going to be going through baptism. Now, that's what it's all about. We get excited about that. One of the cool things that we get to do is provide a Christian education for our kids. And we get to do that through helping students through a tuition assistance program called Sponsor a Lion. And we have an event called the Zig Ziglar event that helps facilitate that. We honor a leader, and we're honoring this year John C. Maxwell. One of the cool things about that is it's really not about the person receiving the award. It's about celebrating what God can do through the lives of families, just like this family celebrated today. And if you're interested in that, we've got a table out there to be involved. Whether you want to come and be a part of that event, it's out at the Star. It's awesome. But we'd love for you just to be praying for us. We give around about $4 million every year in tuition assistance so kids can have a Christian education and be a part of a kingdom education. We're excited about that. You want to hear my favorite Zig Ziglar quote? This is good, especially for my more seasoned folks. They'll get this because you've read this book. But he was talking about confidence, and he said, confidence is like going after Moby Dick in a rowboat and taking the tartar sauce with you. I love that. Isn't that greatness? I love that. And so Zig Ziglar was a great Christian man, served at Prestonwood Baptist Church for a long time, has since passed, but has made a great legacy piece of that. Now, one of the things I'm going to do, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward and start to get prepared to give the offering. And one of the things that I love about this is I love we started passing the plates again. Because if you grew up in church like I did, that was always kind of a special moment because my parents taught me a lot about stewardship. But I really didn't get a lot of that, truly about it, what that meant as an adult until about 5 or 6 years ago. God really began to probe on my heart about what that means. And I think about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all things, acknowledge him. But there's a verse, just a couple verses afterwards, in verse 9, and it says, honor God with all your treasures and bring your first fruits to him. Not the extras. Not the ones that we just happen to have left over, your first fruits. And why do we bring our first fruits? Because it's our best, and we bring our best to him. And it's just a constant reminder, not so that we can get something in return, but because we want to be able to have Christ glorified in all the things, like a preteen weekend or the different things that are going on. And so I want to encourage you today, when you have a chance to give, that you do it with a heart that we're bringing him our first fruits. Amen? Let's go to him in prayer. As we just dedicate this time together. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together together. Let us never take it for granted, this opportunity that we have to fellowship with those in our neighborhoods, those who are fellow believers. But let us not just go through the motions today. Let us be reminded, just like in the life of Hayden, how he's committed his life at a young age to serve you. And let us have that childlike faith, those childlike eyes to look up to you today. No matter what we're going through, no matter what situation we're facing, let us be reminded that you and you alone are in control. As we bring our offerings to you today, Lord, let it be used for your glory and not our own. Not so that we can get anything back in return, but so that you can be lifted up. That you are audience of one. We dedicate the rest of our time to you today. And everybody said, amen.
Yeah.
So good and so worthy of our praise.
Oh, the perfect Son of God in all his innocence, here walking in the dirt with you and me. He knows what living is. He's acquainted with our grief, the man of sorrow, son of suffering. Oh, blood and tears, how can it be? There's a God who weeps, there's a God who leads. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Down in merciful pursuit.
God who weeps, and there's a God who leads. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me.
Today's a very, very special day for our church. 30 years ago, the ministry of PowerPoint started. The director of PowerPoint, Scott Seal, is right here by my side, and Pastor Graham's gonna be up in just a moment. I've had a front row seat since I've been at Prestonwood 32 years now. I've had a front row seat of the incredible, powerful, faithful ministry of PowerPoint. So would you welcome Scott Seal to the platform today, North Campus?
Thank you, church family. It has been an incredible 30 years, and it's so great to see this generation, the next generation up here leading us in worship today. And one of the things that PowerPoint has done in the last 30 years is do one thing, and that's preach the gospel and teach the Bible. Our pastor's been faithful in this pulpit for 35 years. 35 years of faithfulness of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have an incredible pleasure, along with my staff, to take that message every Sunday morning and put it around the world. You know, 30 years ago, as we started this ministry in 1994, the one thing that we wanted to do is to allow the opportunity for people around the world. We started local. We started on television, Channel 8. We had a great service from an incredible church that spread all around the Metroplex. We took that and started on local radio here at KWRD at 8 o'clock in the morning. And the one thing that we've done is we've grown to now over 1,000 stations in the domestic United States. 1,000 stations that we have now. And what that tells me is that when the lights go off at our church, every Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, the lights will go off somewhere around the world. Somebody is hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what I like to say is that media in today's world, whether it's a handheld device or whether it's radio, whether it's television, whether it's online, media is the greatest mission-sending organization that we have as a church. Taking media around the world. One thing that we've done, we have over 2.5 million people watching our services on television every single month. But the greatest thing that I think God has brought into our midst here in the last 12 to 18 months is a new podcast called Bible in a Year. How many of you have downloaded and listened to Bible in a Year? Well, each and every one of you have one of 40 million people that have downloaded that podcast. And that podcast is on handheld devices. It's people using it in so many different areas and sharing it around the world. But the one thing that I like to say about that is that it is daily, and it brings the Bible into people's hearts. Our world is hungry for God's Word. And as we began this, the one thing that it took time, it took effort, it takes resources, but the one thing that we knew is that our world is hungry for God's Word. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And bringing God's Word to people is what's going to cure this nation. Bringing God's Word into the homes of people. One thing that I like is that I get to listen to my own kids listening to their pastor, Jack Graham, in Bible in a Year. These kids that are leading us today, it's the next generation of what we're trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ and pouring into them God's Word. So as we look at these different aspects of media, we're going to translate this Bible in a Year into several different languages, as you'll see from a video. But our goal is over 100 million downloads in this in several different languages. And we're on the way. And we couldn't do that without the local church. This ministry has grown over the years, but it has grown on the backs of people that believe and get to listen every single day or every single Sunday, God's Word. So I want to thank you, church. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have each and every day. Our pastor has always had a visionary spirit, whether it was leaving Hillcrest and Arapahoe, coming to Plano, and starting PowerPoint Ministries in that midst, and continue to grow those things, coming to the North Campus over 15 years ago. Those are things that we look at to reach people, but we're always looking at opportunities to do it locally and around the world. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that's our goal until the whole world hears. Let's watch this video together.
Okay, are we ready? Have you ever felt a calling from God that was so big that you felt there was no way it could ever be accomplished? That's pretty much the way I felt when God first revealed the vision of PowerPoint Ministries to Deb and me. I never believed that my message could travel so far beyond the walls of Prestonwood Church campus, but in 1994, God had bigger plans. We started small, just broadcasting locally on radio and television stations here in Dallas. And now, 30 years later, I'm still amazed at the grace of God and the impact of preaching the gospel through media. As a result, every day we receive calls, emails, text messages, and letters from people whose lives have been transformed because of PowerPoint.
I had never in my life heard that God's love is unconditional. God used that radio program of Pastor Graham.
I love you with an everlasting love.
I'm just grateful. Grateful how the Lord used PowerPoint, Jack Graham, and the opportunity to just share the story.
The investment of our members decades ago in media equipment, buying airtime and communications expertise allowed PowerPoint to keep broadcasting messages worldwide in real time. You helped us proclaim the hope of the world in living rooms, hospital wards, retirement centers, and through digital media. People watch PowerPoint on airplanes, in hotels, and on mobile devices in the most remote parts of the world. PowerPoint is Prestonwood's beacon to our local community, to the nation, and to the world. And the DNA of Prestonwood flows through the veins of PowerPoint. From our ministry vision, our financial stewardship, to our commitment of excellence in all things, and all things to the glory of God. PowerPoint is not a media ministry. but our media ministry. And this mission is truly exciting because it means we can share what we experience here at Prestonwood with millions of other people. Taking the message proclaimed in our pulpit to more homes all over the world and transforming lives with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look to the future and the Pray.com podcast, we've had 40 million downloads to date. And soon we'll be adding additional languages, starting first with Spanish.
Así comienza la historia.
Then French.
Les étoiles, les planètes.
Portuguese.
De criatividade, e tudo aconteceu.
Mandarin.
上帝强大的话语完全展现出来。
And Hindi.
把关内古奇皮纳后退回避古奇巴纳亚。
All using AI technology. Isn't that amazing? Without you, none of this could happen. But I can guarantee you that in heaven there will be more people there than you can imagine because of your faithfulness to this media vision. We are all PowerPoint. And thanks to God's grace, PowerPoint and Prestonwood is changing the world. And that is what God has called us to do, take the message of Jesus, the Word of God, and the testimony of Jesus to the world, starting right here, right now. And thank you for praying for PowerPoint, for praying for me, as doors are opening everywhere. And truly, the AI, artificial intelligence, I know we get a little shaky, a little nervous about AI, and maybe rightfully so in some instances, but we're going to be able to use that for good. So what you heard in those languages was not someone dubbing my voice. That's my voice. Tone, everything in Spanish. I'm speaking better Spanish now than Gilberto Corredera. Just ask him. And then whether it's French or Hindi or Portuguese or Chinese, I mean, it's truly amazing. You know, the fact that we've gone to 40 million, all glory to God, because this isn't me, I'm just a voice. And if you don't know what we're doing on the Bible in a year, we're just simply do a little intro, starting with Genesis right through, do a little intro of what that passage is about to say. We hear it, and there's sound effects. We're on the walls of Jericho right now in this series we're in. So when the walls fall down, you hear them falling, some sound effects, and then I do a close and a wrap-up, and I share the gospel in that so often. And so I'm just the voice. I mean, of those 40 million people, I guarantee you 39.99 don't know who Jack Graham is. But they want the Word of God, and that is happening. And so just to put that in perspective, we love television. What did you say, 2.5 million people a month watching on television, all those radio stations? Radio is still very viable. Some of you listen to sports talk radio. You should be listening to PowerPoint on radio, but and some sports talk as well. But to put that in perspective, 40 million means that this is the number one religious podcast in the world on Apple and on Spotify. And here's what's even more amazing. This is the Word of God, number 14 in all the world of all podcasts of any kind. Now that is truly amazing. So I would encourage you, just go to, if you're not on it, you can start. I mean, we're in season 2. You can pick up at any time. But you just go to pray.com, download the app, and Scott can tell you how to link it up if you'd like to talk to him. But again, thank you, Scott, for a great job and for leading us the past 20 years. Deb and I began it those 30 years ago, and truly, God has done exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And now, of course, we have the online opportunities as well, live. And we're live here at our North Campus. And while I'm preaching here today, we just thought we'd do a little switcheroo. Our North Campus pastor, Connor Bales, is preaching in Plano today. So we pass each other on the tollway getting here and there. But take your Bibles and turn with me to the 5th chapter of Joshua. This is our message series, Forward, a study, a series on Joshua. And the title of this message is, Are You Ready for a Miracle? Many of you do not know my story, but when I was a college student at Hardin-Simmons University, Deb and I were married after
my second year in college, we were college sweethearts. She's from Mineral Wells, Texas. I'm from Fort Worth. We met in Abilene at Hardin-Simmons. Fell in love, got married, probably way too young, but it's worked out. We're coming up on 54 years married in May, and a great marriage, and she's an incredible partner in life, not just PowerPoint and ministry, of course. But that summer, it was great. We'd just been married. Life was good, and my father was mortally wounded and tragically died as a victim of violent crime in August of 1970. So my father was murdered. And I won't share with you the details another time in another place for that. But the night that he died, after 10 days after being injured, never regaining consciousness, my family left. Deb had gone with the car somewhere, and I had I don't know exactly how I ended up by myself at the hospital wrapping things up. And I didn't know what to do. I just knew I needed God. Have you ever been in that situation where you just knew there were questions, of course, but I didn't have time for questions at that moment. I just needed God. I hurt too bad to ask a bunch of questions. Why this and why that? So I went to the little chapel of Harris Hospital. I'm always grateful when hospitals have a chapel where people can pray and people can seek God in those places. And I went down to the chapel, and it was dark, and it, of course, was emotionally dark. And I can't tell you exactly what happened in that room tonight, that night, but it was so powerful that I had an encounter with God like few other times in my life. I remember stretching myself out prostrate on the ground. Remember, I'm a young preacher just getting started. And my dad, who I love, was my best friend in many ways, is now gone, brutally murdered. And I lay myself out and just cried out to God. And God came into that room that night. I didn't hear angel wings. I didn't hear an audible voice. But the divine encounter that I had with God that night set me up for the rest of my life. What God did in me was something that I will never forget. And everything that has happened going forward is a result of a surrender that I made that night to Him. And so, just to review, you may be wondering why there's a chest here, an Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant went with the children of Israel. This is to scale, half scale. So the Ark of the Covenant was about as twice as big. This is well done. This was created by a member of our church by the name of Kenny Offendi. And he made this. It's beautiful. It weighs 100 pounds. I wanted to have some of those kids kind of bring it in, but we didn't have time. You see the poles, the cherubs on top, and inside the Ark of the Covenant. So if this weighs 100 pounds, the original weighed about 200 pounds, most likely. And inside were the tablets of Moses, the law of God, God's Ten Commandments, the rod that budded, Aaron's rod, and the manna, a pot of manna that God sustained them supernaturally in the desert. And so this all in the Ark of the Covenant. So you had God's precepts, the commandments. You had God's power in that miracle of the rod that budded, Aaron's rod. And then you had God's provision by the manna. And then, most of all, with the Ark of the Covenant is the presence of God. So just to pick you up, remember the children of God have come out of Egypt. They're set free. They spent 40 years wandering because of unbelief in the wilderness, in the desert. They became desert disciples. But all along, God had promised them a land. God had given them a land, He said, flowing with milk and honey. It was a land of bounty, a land of beauty, a land of blessing. It was God's land that He had given His chosen people, Israel. And now, having come through the Jordan, Connor got us through the Jordan River last week, right? Say amen. We got through the Jordan River. There was another miracle, a powerful miracle. The Ark of the Covenant led the way through. They got on the other side, and now, standing in front of them, like a huge sign that says, keep out, are the walls of Jericho and this city of Jericho. Famous for its enormity, it was a large city in the in the desert area of Israel. You can still go there today. I've been to Jericho many times. And the ruins of the walls of Jericho and the ancient city of Jericho are being uncovered. And we know this miracle happened. And the city existed in antiquity and in enormity and in iniquity, because it was a vile city in so many ways, full of idolatry and sacrificing of babies and extreme sexual immorality that took place in that city. And they had many opportunities to repent, but they did not. So now the children of God, the people of God, Israel, are on the brink of this blessing. They are ready to go in, but here are these walls. And they've never passed this way before, like through the Jordan. But now these walls stand in front of them. What a challenge. How are they possibly going to get through the walls and into the promised land? They had had a few skirmishes in the desert, a few battles, but nothing like this. This powerful city, fully protected. And now the Israelis are wondering, how are we ever going to do this? And Joshua, General Joshua, is feeling the same pressure. He's up early, and he's praying, and he's looking at this Jericho, this challenge. Maybe you're looking at a challenge in your own life, like the walls of Jericho. Something that's going on in your life as though it were saying, keep out from the blessing of God. Stopping you from experiencing the abundance that we have in Christ. Remember, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is heaven on earth in Christ. It is the abundant life. It is the spirit-filled life. It is the victorious life that we've been promised in Him. And God says, it's yours. Go take it. Go take it. Step into it. Every place the feet, your feet touch, this is already yours. But now they're looking at these walls and these enforcements and this army that is in front of us. What a challenge. And you may be looking at a great challenge in your marriage, in your home, with your kids, with your health. It may be a diagnosis. It may be a darkness in your life. It may be a distraction in your life. I don't know what may be standing in front of you, but like the walls of Jericho, it seems as you are kept out and left out from going in and experiencing the fullness and the fruitfulness and the freshness of this life that you've been promised in Christ. And you need a miracle. You need God to move. You need a miracle in your life. The Bible is full of miracles, and miracles still happen today. So in chapter 5, verse 13 and 15, before the miracle comes, here's what has to happen. Before God moves and the miracle takes place in our lives, here's what has to happen. It's what happened to Joshua at Jericho. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now this is one of the mysteries of the Bible. The next series I'm going to do in the Bible in a year, I'm going to call it The Mysteries and Miracles of the Bible. And this is one of those mysteries, because the question is, who is this person who's standing before Joshua, who startles him before daybreak with drawn sword in his hand? Who is this one? Well, Joshua first supposed that it was an enemy. Are you for us or against us? Could have been an adversary, but this was not a human adversary. This was not a man at all, a human being. So not an adversary, not an apparition. Maybe you might be thinking, well, Joshua spent a lot of time in the desert and now he's hallucinating. No, this wasn't an apparition. This wasn't a ghost or an hallucination, because there's flesh and blood here. There's a man with a drawn sword here. There is a sense, there is humanity here. It's not an angel. Now, angels exist, as we're going to see in just a moment. But we know that this is not an angel, a warrior angel. And biblically, angels are often portrayed in their powerful warlike witness. And they appear from time to time. And yet, angels are not allowed to accept worship. In fact, in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, John sees an angel and he bows down to worship at the feet of this angel, and this angel saying, John, get up, you're going to get both of us in trouble. Because worship God only. So angels are powerful spiritual beings, created beings. I've written a book about angels, and the study of angels is, again, one of the mysteries of the Bible. It's so very fascinating, and angels do exist. But this is not an angel, because when Joshua fell down and worshiped at the feet of this one, then that one accepted the worship that was given. So there's only one option left, isn't there? Who is this divine stranger? This was God, the Son of God, Jesus himself. The commander of the Lord's army. Theologically, we call this a theophany. It's an appearance of God, of Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. That means that this is God in the flesh. God in the flesh. God incarnate. And we know that on several occasions in the Old Testament, Jesus made an appearance, like in the fiery furnace. One standing there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like the Son of Man. He shows up from time to time. You see, Jesus did not begin to exist at Bethlehem, but he was chosen before the foundation of the world. He is God the Creator. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. He was slain, the Lamb of God, before the foundation of the world. So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever, and he's not limited by time or history or heaven or any of that. So God chose to show up in the flesh from time to time, and this is one of those instances. This is Jesus B.C. in the O.T., and he's the commander of the Lord's host. And he shows up in the presence of Joshua. Before the walls would come down, before the miracle would take place, before the miracle takes place in your life, what happened to Joshua must happen to you and me. And you know what that is? Surrender. Before the victory comes the surrender to the commander of the Lord's armies. Now, I like that phrase, the commander of the Lord's armies, because back to angels, angels are witnesses. They often come bringing messages from God in the Bible. Angels are worshipers. Their primary role in creation and throughout eternity is to worship God. And the beautiful, powerful angels are great worshipers. They're workers. Let me give you a few scriptures. Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, the heavenly hosts. It literally means angel armies. And here we discover the Lord of angel armies. He ministers who do his will. Then Psalm 91, you should know 91, the 91st Psalm. In fact, if you're in trouble, just dial 911. And you'll find in the first verse and throughout Psalm 91, incredible comfort. And at verse 11 and 12, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And on their hands, they will bear you up unless you strike your foot against a stone. So they are present. Angels are all around us right now. Did you know that? Angels are here. They're everywhere. They're emissaries for God. They're on errands for God himself. You need to realize that all around us is a spiritual world, an invisible world, an unseen world that exists, more real than the world we're in right now. And in this world, there are demon forces, fallen angels, Lucifer himself, Satan, is a fallen angel, the forces of hell, fallen, but these angelic beings that God has created, and they are with us, and they are around us, and they're serving God, and they're serving God's people. Hebrews 1, verse 14, are they not all these angels, ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who inherit salvation? Have you inherited salvation? Do you know Christ? Then angels are present to protect you, to provide for you in ways that you may never even know. But this is not an angel. This is the commander of the angels. This is the captain of the Lord's host, of these warrior angels. Powerful and present are these angels, but they are commanded by God himself. Jesus commands them all. And the message, are you ready for a miracle? The message to Joshua is clear. I am with you. I am with you. Joshua is looking at these walls. Like you may be looking at some obstacle, some difficulty, some danger, some situation in your life. Joshua was looking at all of that and wondering how the battle would be won, how they would ever get through there. And God shows up. And God says, I am with you. I am here. And I am for you. We need to know that God is near when we face our fears, when we face those foes, when we fight our battles. We need to know that God is present, that he was real. What I experienced that night in that little room, that little chapel, I know it was the presence of God in that place. And I experienced something that I remember to this day as a turning point in my life. Well, this was a turning point for Joshua. You know, when it's night, sometimes your children, if you have small children, they cry out in the night. And so, Daddy, what do? Hey, Mom, the kid's crying. No. I hope you get up, go down the hall, and assure your little crying child that you are there for them, Mom or Dad. It works. And when we cry out in the night, and when it's dark like it was in Joshua's day here, when we cry out, our Father is there to comfort us. The Lord of angel armies, who never lost a battle. That's a good place for an amen. Amen. Who never lost a battle, is leading you forward in your life. And he will be present in your darkest hour, in your most difficult moment. That's when God shows up in ways we could never imagine. When you're sick and in a hospital room and you're laying there alone by yourself and the Lord of angel armies shows up for you. It could be in the touch and the kindness and the words of a friend who, like an angel, visits you. It could be in scripture that God shows up, his presence is real, and you're hurting, and yet in the pain there comes a promise from God's word that maybe you learned it long, long ago, but the Holy Spirit reminds you of that promise, and you can then remind God of his promise. You know, how about when your children come to you and they say something like, you know, that you gave them a promise, and then something happens, you don't get it done, you're delayed, and then your kids say, what do they say? But you said, God's children, not arrogantly, but in awe, can come to him and say, God, you said, but you said in your word that we are more than conquerors through Jesus. You said, if God be for us, who can be against us? You said, God, that I know the plans concerning you, plans to give you a future and a hope. You said, Lord. And maybe that's the way that God shows up to you in such a powerful way. It's through scripture. It's through prayer, supplication. It could be even in this sermon that God
would show up and speak to you because you're facing something you don't know how to get through, you don't know how to get over, and God showed up this morning, and even in something that is said right now, you know that the Lord is with you, that the Lord is speaking to you, and he's giving you hope for your future. This is a promise. I will be with you. There is no exception. No exception for the child of God. So Joshua then asks a question. Are you for us or are you an adversary? And the answer came, no, neither. Because I haven't come here to take sides, I've come here to take over. He's the captain of the Lord's host. And what matters is not whose side God is on in the end. God is on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? But the question at this point is, are you on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? That's what God wanted to know. That's what Joshua needed to know. So I'm not for you or against you. Sometimes people say something like, well, you know what? God is my partner in business. God's my partner. God doesn't want to be your partner in your business. No, he's not your partner. He's not an equal partner. He's not even a majority partner. He's the Lord of life, the Lord of all. God doesn't need you to be his partner. Amen. He can take your business or whatever you're doing and do what only God can do and more than you could possibly do. Sometimes we say, you know, well, God's my co-pilot. God's not going to be your co-pilot. He's the pilot. What Carrie Underwood sing? Jesus, take the wheel. Quit trying to drive his car and move your life. This is what is happening to Joshua. And I really believe that was what was happening to me that dark night. It was a time of surrender when I said, Lord, you have my life. You have all of my life. Whatever it is, Lord, I am yours. I am on your side. And it says when Joshua was by Jericho, look at it again in verse 13, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, he saw the man, Christ Jesus. So you see what happens with, before the miracle can take place, before the walls fall, is to get our eyes on Jesus. Stop looking at your Jericho and start looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to Jesus. Oh, glance at your problems. You got to deal with problems. You can't change something until you confront something. But glance at your problems and gaze at the promises and the promised one, Jesus himself. Don't be looking at Jericho, because if you keep looking at your Jericho, you're going to be discouraged and defeated. You start looking to Jesus, and that's where the victory is found. It happened to Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were in jail in prison for preaching the gospel. And what happened? Were they whining and complaining? No, they were worshiping God at midnight. This is all in Acts chapter 16. They're worshiping God, and all the prisoners are listening to them. And as they're worshiping God, the walls began to fall, shake, an earthquake. The walls fell down, and the chains fell off. And now they are free, and they tell the jailer about Jesus, and his whole family comes to Christ. But I'm just saying that when you find yourself at midnight in a dark place and prison chains are binding you, whatever is going on, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes to Jesus. Amen. Get your eyes on him, because your Jericho's never going to fall until the commander of the Lord's host takes command of your life and mine. We used to sing an old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's true. And so what does this old grizzled general Joshua do? Having seen the Lord, he gets on his face before him. He takes off his shoes. He knows he's on holy ground. This isn't the desert any longer. This is God's ground. This is holy ground. The presence of the Lord is here. And he's worshiping the Lord. He was strong. He was mighty. He came out of Egypt with Moses. He lasted all through the desert and the wilderness. He was one of the spies sent early on that said, we can take this land. 40 years earlier, he had to put up with all the death and the dying in the wilderness because somebody else, a bunch of other people, the majority, said, we can't go. The giants are too big. And he's put up with all this. By now, he is a strong and mighty man. But not too strong, not too mighty, not too powerful, not so great, not so old, not so sage that he would get on his face before God. Can I tell you, you're not strong enough, you're not too strong, you're not too big, you're not too great, that you don't need to get on your face before God in your life and worship him, which means you give him your heart. Many of you know that I've had the opportunity over the last 5 or 6 years to pray for and counsel Donald Trump. We were just with him at the National Religious Broadcasters and had a wonderful visit. And after the last election, Franklin Graham and I don't often speak of my conversations, and I'm going to be careful even with what I say about this one. But we were speaking and praying for Donald Trump in his office down in Florida at Mar-a-Lago. And we spoke to him about humbling himself before the Lord. I quoted the scripture from Peter. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season he will exalt you. And so we talked and we prayed, and he heard it and he listened. And I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but those some of us who have been around the former president, we see what God is doing in his life. We see something different going on in his life. There's a peace there. There's a calmness there. We believe, and we're hearing a lot more we and a lot less me. And I don't know what is in any man's heart, his or anyone else's, but the reason I tell you that story is to say Donald Trump is not too big to get on his face before God. No man is. No president, no king, no potentate, no powerful business tycoon. No one is so great, so good that does not need to get on our face before God Almighty. Joshua was a big man. He was a powerful war hero, but not too big that he knew that he didn't need to get on his face before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So here's what we're saying today. If you want the walls to fall down and the miracle to take place in your life, then get on your knees. When you are knocked off your feet, get down on your knees and then rise with the victory of Jesus in your heart. And that's what happened. And we'll get to I'll let Connor get the walls down next week with you all. But what happened, notice what happens in chapter 6, verse 2, and then we'll close. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. So the battle was already won. The victory was already won. I've already given you this victory. And Christ has given us our victory. So go and take it. Surrender your life completely to the Lord, because we share in Christ's victory. He died on the cross for our sins, defeating the powers of sin and death and hell. And he rose again on the third day, and he lives and is coming again. Talk about walls of Jericho falling down when they blew the trumpet and shouted. There's coming a day another trumpet is going to sound. And the shout and the voice of the archangel. And Jesus is coming again. And forever, we're going to share in his victory then. But it all begins now. You can live in your victory and experience your miracle today. Today. And the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation when we are forgiven our sins. I tell you this, there's no person that God cannot save. There's no problem that God cannot save. There's no mountain that God cannot move. There's no sickness that God cannot heal. There is no wall that God cannot crush. There is no addiction that God cannot destroy. There's no habit that God cannot enable you to overcome. There is nothing in your life but that God can do what He promised He would do, and that is to give you victory in your life. You can live the promised land life now by surrendering your life to the Lord and giving yourself to share in the victory that is ours. He always causes us to triumph, the Bible says, in Jesus Christ. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing. And I want to encourage you to bow your heads with me in prayer. If you're watching online, there's a number there, 55125. You can check in right now, and you can text the word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, to 55125. And we're standing by to encourage you. But right here in the room with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to know Christ as your Savior, you see, you can't win without Him. There's no victory in life or in death apart from Jesus. So if you believe, say, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Just tell Him, Lord, I believe and trust in You. I look to You and You only as my Savior and Lord. Come into my life. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So ask Him, Lord, come into my life. Be my Savior, my Lord, my Master and friend. And then if you're inviting Christ into your life, thank Him, because He always does what He promises. And He said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You say, well, I've got a lot of past. I got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of sin. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. He died for you. You can be forgiven. Jesus will live in you, and you can know that you're going to heaven when He comes again, or when He comes for you in death. So pray and invite Christ into your life. And then pray one more thing. Lord, give me the courage to come forward today and to openly confess You. That's important, because everyone Jesus called in the New Testament, He called out openly and publicly. There are no secret disciples. Faith is very private and very personal, but it's always public. So I'm going to ask you to do something that is important, and that is to come down this aisle, one of these aisles, and openly follow Jesus. You say, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? You come forward, one of our pastors is going to meet you here. You just say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to trust in Jesus. I'm praying that prayer. I need Christ in my life. And that pastor will take it from there. I promise you, he's not going to ask you a bunch of questions and put you on the spot about things. He's just going to pray for you and encourage you. And you can walk out of here with the power and the life of Jesus Christ in your life. There's not a marriage that He cannot restore. There's not a child He can't recover. God can do anything but fail. So I'm going to ask you to come today. Others of you, you know Christ, but you need a church home. Everyone needs three homes, a family home and a heavenly home. You need to know you're going to heaven, and you need a church home. Do you have a church home where you're actively serving? We would love to be your church family and your church home. So come today and make that decision under the Lordship of Christ. God the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do it. Jesus, do what only You can do, changing lives. Perform miracles in people's hearts and homes today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.